Climate change has become a harsh reality which has resulted in significant social, economic, and environmental challenges globally. According to a report by the Center of Environmental Rights, Southern Africa is particularly vulnerable to climate change. It is said that Southern Africa is warming at twice the global rate. We are aware of the Greta Thunbergs of the world, but we have our very own young change makers who are working to make the world a better place by tackling issues such as the climate change crisis. One of these change makers is 18-year-old grade 11 pupil from Johannesburg, Utsile Ngadimeng, who is a climate change activist. Ngadimeng tells us about some of the work he has done for the various climate change organizations he is part of.
So when you're a climate activist, essentially the work that you do is around, firstly, getting people aware about it, because when people are aware about it, then they can start thinking about, okay, what can we do about it? So I work with two organizations primarily when it comes to this, and that's Fridays for Future South Africa and Extinction Rebellion South Africa, two climate NGOs that are trying to get climate change in the main frame of discussion in South Africa. And so another aspect of it is coming up with solutions, working with people that are coming up with solutions. Some of the work that I've done, I've been part of a process called the South African Youth Climate Action Plan, which is basically young people from all different sectors and sections in South Africa came together. The South African Institute of International Affairs actually created a platform for this. And we came together and we said, okay, climate change is by far one of the biggest issues that we're going to face. How can we as young people start to mobilize and start to create measurable change? The third thing you do is you actually engage with the people who are causing the climate crisis, if you'd want to put it that way. So it involves a lot of activism, what we call direct actions. So you go to corporations that are funding and financing unsustainable business projects that are only going to exacerbate the climate crisis. And you sort of protest out there saying you have a moral obligation, not just to us as humanity, but you have a moral obligation knowing that the projects that you're financing are most likely going to cause extreme climate devastation. The fourth aspect is that looks like engaging with climate dialogues with the Minister of Environment, Barbara Creasy. I've had the privilege of engaging with two climate dialogues with her, in which I actually expressed to the minister, one, we as young people feel inherently scared for our future today because there are too many issues that we have to face. And the climate crisis in South Africa especially isn't something that's being discussed well enough. I mean, from my own personal experience, the climate issue is something that is not really discussed in the mainstream. And if it is now, it's because it sort of had to be forced into the discussion.
According to the United Nations fact sheet on climate change, Africa is not a significant source of greenhouse gas emissions. The topic of climate change is often one that is neglected or not as prioritized as other global issues. Ngadimeng outlines some of the reasons why the climate change discussion is being neglected, especially by developing nations. These include the focus on other issues and the idea that climate change is a Western narrative.
The thing about climate change is that for someone to get engaged in climate change, there's a lot of nuanced work that you have to do to get in touch with the issue. But in the context of South Africa and Africa and all the problems that we face, I feel that, you know, we sort of live in a society where people have less and less time on their hands to do the things that they actually want to do. And so when they actually do get their free time, the time that we're hoping to sort of engage with them on, they have other things that they're dealing with. And these issues, as they happen more and more and more on a greater scale and a greater extent, the sort of opportunity that we get to discuss it becomes less and less and less, because we're working more and more. Or if we're not working a lot, we're trying to actually get some time to ourselves to keep ourselves sane. And so it's a combination of, we just live in a time where people are stressed with so many different things that for us to make climate change the central issue is very hard, because you also don't want to take away from other issues that are extremely important but tie into climate change. And so that's where this question of intersectionality comes in. There is that correlation. There's a correlation between the ability for people to access healthcare when the climate crisis is starting to impact those communities, because we see a rise in infectious diseases happening when temperatures get higher. We see that more people get pneumonia and tuberculosis when serious rain bombs or extreme floods start happening in those areas. And so these issues all intersect. Another reason why climate change and climate activism per se is not something that, you know, has really been in the main frame of discussion is when we talk about climate change and when we talk about the environment, the previous way or the past way that people used to think about climate activists or any type of environmentalism was people are these tree-hugging hippies that will chain themselves to trees and, you know, sit in a park and eat psychedelic mushrooms and behave in a strange way, a way that does not benefit to society. This is a narrative that is bad, that is toxic, but it's a narrative that has sort of been built up by people who would want to control the way in which we sort of interact with these, with the causes of climate change, and that is greenhouse gas, and that is fossil fuels. Fossil fuel companies have been linked to, you know, changing the frame of discussion around climate issues. They finance people in certain industries, in certain media, to sort of kill climate stories and to sort of perpetuate this climate denialism that there even is a crisis and that these people are overreacting about what's happening. So the prevailing sort of narrative or the prevailing argument that I've identified, you know, within some of the spaces that don't understand climate crisis and that are dominated by a lot of Black people is that, why are we trying to fight this? The idea of climate change has still been something that exists solely in the West. It exists in the developed world with Europe and with Asia. We here in Africa haven't really started to link many of the issues that are hindering our development, hindering our progress, to the climate crisis. And so we write it off as just this Western issue, this Western problem, but we don't identify that. Unless we can actually link it to the issues that we're facing, unless we can actually start dealing with it seriously. And that involves, you know, identifying that it is also an African problem and also making, you know, the West and the countries that are finding solutions to this thing, identify that the developing world, we're also involved in this. We need to have a say. We need to also be involved in the conversation, because part of the reason why we don't think it's our issue too is because we're being left out.
The global response to climate change has over the years gradually gained momentum. The responsibility of developing plans and systems to adapt to the effects of a climate change crisis is often placed on governments and big companies, especially those who are responsible to adding to the crisis. According to Ngadi Meng, young people should drive the response to climate change as adults have made a mess of it.
When we talk about who should be leading the discussion on climate, it should be young people. Because at this point, there's a general frustration that we all have, that we've left it to the adults for so long that they've created a mess of it. And the only reason why we're having a serious discussion about it now is because us young people have gotten involved and we're starting to create a serious noise around it. An example of this would be why it's a serious issue of discussion now at every UN conference and at every COP summit. Because Greta Thunberg decided she was going to sail from Sweden to New York to confront world leaders about it. And young people started rising through the movements that she created. We've always been, as young people, this catalyst for a discussion. And so when we're having these discussions with world leaders, with corporations that are exacerbating the climate crisis, we need to be involved. Because in the spaces that I've been in, and personally, in my own opinion, I don't feel that it is right for me to leave a discussion that is going to impact my future to such a large extent to people who won't even be alive when this thing starts to impact me and my children and their children's children.
And, you know, the best part is that leaders like the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, have identified that young people are needed in the conversation. After all, young people have been the catalysts for change throughout human history. We see this everywhere. Here in South Africa, the reason we're doing a youth parade on June 16th is because the generation of 1976, those young people were the catalysts for that change. They boycotted and they fought against Bantu education. And as a result, they achieved what they wanted. Young people have always been these catalysts, and so we can't afford to be left out.
For Times Live Podcast, I'm Demi Buzo.